The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. A solemn reading from God's word, and we know that God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Now shall we ask the Lord to help us as we come together to his word. Our dear Father in heaven, we're just so glad to be together once more in your house, and we can hardly believe that this week has hurtled by so quickly. We have been glad to be together. We've been glad to look into your word, and you have very mercifully and very graciously helped us. And we want to thank you, Lord, for divine help. For we're not able to do these things in the energies of the flesh. In the power of self, we would utterly fail. And so once more I pray for that help, the help of the Spirit of God, that you will send your Spirit upon us. We'll know that liberty, that inspiration, that anointing, that enabling, which only the Spirit of God can give. Bless each dear one bowed now in your presence. Make each one open and honest and responsive and receptive to the Word of God. May we be blessed together, and may your great name be exalted in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before I speak, I want to say that some of you have been very faithful. There's friends have gathered with us for quite a distance, some from Donegal, some from Limavady. See good friends from Kilray. And it's just nice that you've come to join us over these nights and to be with us tonight. The subject tonight is the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord. What is the Day of the Lord? This is quite a subject. Quite a subject. A vitally important subject. And we want to look at it together this evening. In the Scriptures, the Day of the Lord occurs 25 times. That sentence. The Day of the Lord. 21 times in the Old Testament Scriptures, 4 times in the New Testament. So it's an important subject. If you make an analysis of these verses, you will find that they refer to two things. The Day of the Lord's wrath. What an awesome day that is going to be. Followed by the glorifying of his holy name. We await that day. We want to see that day. How could Zephaniah, writing about 630 years before the birth of Christ, refer to the day of the Lord as being near? You'll probably say he got it wrong. He got the date wrong. Well, it's very interesting for to realize that in Bible prophecy, there's such a thing as pattern and then prediction. And Zephaniah was looking with telescopic view down through the centuries. And he saw our day. He saw what was happening. He saw that the end was near. And the day of the Lord's wrath was coming soon upon this world. Very interesting to note that and to realize that. He saw what was going to happen. The day of the Lord is near. Can I say to you, first of all, in this connection, that the day of the Lord is going to be a day of God's vindication. You think about that. We are living in a day when men raise their voice to blaspheme God. We're living in a day when insignificant, puny people who think they have arrived are putting up the fist of rebellion against God. When they sneer and they mock and they jeer at the name of Jesus Christ, and they think they're wonderful. There's a day coming, my friends, and it's going to be a day when God is going to be vindicated. The day of God's vindication. There's a day coming when every mouth is going to be stopped. And all the world will become guilty before God. In the battle between God and evil, it's God who is victorious. And evil is going to be put down. And how we rejoice in that. That day is coming. You can be sure about it. You can be certain about it. It's coming. He is the ultimate power to whom is given the final word and against whom no force can stand. Isaiah 2:17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. God summons up the nations for an accounting day. In Joel 3, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord shall be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. I say to you again, what an awesome day it is going to be. The day of the Lord's vindication. At the day of the Lord at the end of history is quite beyond human description. If I had a silver tongue, if I had the tongue of the orator, I could not have the ability to tell you the awesomeness of the day of the Lord. When the Lord starts to vindicate his great and holy name. What an awesome day that is going to be. I say again, it's quite beyond human description. Now, secondly, the day of the Lord not only will address the existence of evil, but especially will be the undoing of the havoc which it has caused and making all things right. The message of the day of the Lord is evil is trounced and evildoers will receive their just deserts. There will be justice after all. I'm sure that sometimes you have probably wondered. There was a Jewish rabbi wrote a book some years ago, an interesting book, and it asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? That's an age-old question. Dealing with an age-old situation. Seems that evil people succeed. Seems as if wicked men prosper. Seems as if everything goes their way. as if they're having a wonderful time. It seems to you and I that that's so. We have seen some very evil men prosper. We have seen some very wicked men succeed. And we've wondered at it at times. Psalmist wondered about that too one time. And then he said, he got the answer, he realized what it was all about when he went into the house of the Lord. But people often ask the question, why does it seem as if evil is triumphing? Why does it seem as if wickedness is succeeding? Why are the people of God being cast down so often and things go wrong for them so often? Why, we ask? Well, there's a day coming, my dear friends, when all the wickedness that hell has thrust upon this earth is going to be put down. Sin is going to be trounced. Evil is going to be banished from the presence of the Lord and from this world. That's going to be an awesome moment. The Bible tells us that Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and there'll be a reign of peace and gladness and joy upon this earth. I tell you, my dear friends, the day is coming when evil and sin and wickedness is going to be dealt with. And I'm glad about that, and I'm sure you're glad about that too. Yes, sin and wickedness and evil is going to be dealt with. Number three, the certain coming of that day with its dark side of judgment and retribution, the putting down of evil and the elimination of evil and wrong. But then there's the bright side to it all. The transformation encompassing human beings, the whole world, the physical environment will all be changed. And peace at last on earth. Now, people are always talking about peace. And some people have devised a peace plan. Saying the other night about Rick Warren has devised what they're calling a peace plan. I don't care who forms peace plans and makes peace plans. And they've tried peace plans in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians, and it has never worked, and it won't work until Jesus Christ comes back again, until the Prince of Peace returns to this earth and to this world. But it's a wonderful thing that you and I know that these things are going to happen, that the day of God's vindication is coming, as sure as you sit in that seat, and that the day of the Lord not only will address the existence of evil and especially all the wrongs that have been done in this world, will address all that and put it down, but then there'll be a better side to it all. There'll be a good side to it when the Lord sets up his millennium kingdom upon the earth. Now, I want us to look at the motive behind the day of the Lord. The motive behind it. And can I say here, first of all, that the problem of Jerusalem will be resolved. God is going to exalt Jerusalem and make it not only the capital of Israel, but the capital city of the whole earth. How wonderful that is going to be. How wonderful that is going to be. See, my dear friends, there's a day coming. Philippians 2:10 tells us that there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a day that's going to be. And that day will take place in Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ sets up his throne and reigns there. The millennium kingdom of Jesus Christ reigns there for 1,000 years. How wonderful that is going to be. Just how wonderful that is going to be. Jerusalem has seen some trouble over the centuries. Some of the great warriors of history have fought at Jerusalem and round Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been taken. It's been through its struggles. It's been through its battles. It's been razed to the ground. It's been rebuilt. Awesome things has happened in the city of Jerusalem. But its best day is yet to come. The day when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom. What a day that's going to be. Set up his millennium kingdom upon earth. It's going to be an awesome, wonderful, amazing, powerful day. This old world needs to realize that. This old world needs to realize that time is running out for it, and that Christ is coming, and that he is going to set up his millennium kingdom. The problem of the rightful ownership of Jerusalem will be settled once for all. The false claims of the so-called Palestinians will be shown up as sham. Everybody will know the truth. Christ will reign. And what a moment that is going to be. What a day that is going to be. Can I say secondly, that the power of God will be displayed as it has never been seen before. Now you and I have not seen very much of the power of God. The awesome God of heaven is going to demonstrate his power. What a moment that's going to be. When all the pent-up indignation and wrath of a holy God will be unleashed upon this whole world. Over this period of time, it's not just a 24-hour period of time. It'll be a 7-year period of time. When God pours out his divine wrath upon a sinful, wicked world, brings evil men to task, takes divine dealings with them. The day of mercy is over and past. The church will by then have been raptured and taken home to heaven. God will start his awful program of judging this whole world, pouring out his wrath upon this whole world. The judgments that he will unleash upon the earth, the book of Revelation acquaints us with and tells us one by one what's going to happen, and one by one each judgment that will take place. The wrath of God poured out on this whole world. We want to emphasize in our mind that the power of God will be displayed as it has never been seen before. And I tell you, my dear friends, that is going to be awesome. It is going to be absolutely awesome. And the person of the Messiah will be declared, and the people of Israel will be delivered. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, Zechariah 2:10, or 12:10 rather, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. I tell you, my dear friend, what a moment that is going to be. The Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed to the world. What a shock for those who have hated him. What a shock for those who have blasphemed him. What a shock for all those ones who have lined up to oppose him, to oppose his reign on earth. All the schemes and plots of wicked men and wicked women and governments and systems set up to defy the person of Jesus Christ will be swept away. I tell you, that gives us a lot of satisfaction. It gives us a great cause to rejoice. That Jesus Christ will be vindicated at last. He will be revealed At last, no mistaking who he is now. The Messiah of Israel, the one they waited for, the one that sadly they rejected, the one that they didn't see. They were blinded and didn't see. But how wonderful that at last he is revealed, he reveals himself to the nation of Israel. And what a day of mourning it will be when they realize just the awful, tragic mistake that they had made. But the person of the Messiah will be declared to the whole world. What of those who say there's no such person? What of those who have denied his existence? What of those who blasphemed his name? What of those who, facing his claims, spurned his claims and said away with him? We don't want them. We don't want this man to reign over us. Away with him. The awesome reality breaks in upon them of the tragic mistake that they made, that they will not be able, sadly, to turn the clock back and make a fresh start. That day is past. The day of grace is over. The day of wrath has come. The one they despised is now in control. They may cry, but it's too late. Too late forever when the Messiah is revealed to the world. What a wonderful moment that is going to be. Revelation 1:7 tells us, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." We could say the search for the historical Jesus is over, and over for all time. Oh, men have made great statements, haven't they? In their arrogance and in their pride, and they've torn the scriptures, and they've denied the person of Christ. They've denied his virgin birth. They've made him out a mere man. Oh, he was a great teacher. Wonderful teacher. Great teacher. But just a man. Oh, a wonderful person. But just a man. That day they will realize that he is more than a man. That he is a divine Son of God. The Redeemer of mankind. What an awesome moment that is going to be. Just a wonderful, wonderful moment it is going to be when the people of earth realizes that Jesus Christ has come back again. What a time that is going to be. All the promises of God will be fulfilled. And you know what the promises of God, all the promises of God are? Yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God are going to be fulfilled. All will be fulfilled. All the remaining unfulfilled promises of God, they will be fulfilled on that day. God is dependable, God is diligent, and not one promise will remain unfulfilled. I tell you, friends, what a wonderful moment that is going to be. What an absolute awesome moment it is going to be. When God takes his dealings with man, what an awesome moment it is going to be. And then all the land of Israel will be restored to Israel, to the Jewish people. You know that Israel has just a little strip of land today. You know what Britain did on them? How crooked they were, how twisted they were. They gave the land of Israel away. They were left. Israel had, Palestine had become a protectorate under the crown. In 1917, and they frittered it away. They gave it to the Arabs for oil. They treated the Jews abominably. Squandered their land, gave it away. Left them with a little strip of land. Surrounded by 22 Muslim states, Arab states. But their day is coming. And it's not too far hence, we believe, when the Jews will regain their land. They'll inherit all that land that they were to receive from the river of Egypt onto the great river Euphrates. Genesis 15:8, you read of it there. God's covenant with Abraham will be fulfilled. I tell you, my dear friends, things are happening in the world of today. We are hastening to that moment. Hastening very quickly to that moment. The day of the Lord is near. Zephaniah, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he looked down the centuries and he saw it coming. He announced it as near. Many of the other prophets announced the nearness of the Lord's return, the nearness of the day of the Lord. And surely as you and I look out on the world of today, with all its sin and debauchery, with all its rebellion, with all its turning away from God and the things of God, the evil devices that they're instituting, the evil laws that they're putting upon the statute book in our own nation and in other nations, we begin to realize, how long can we go on like this? That's a good question to ask ourselves. God always intervenes at exactly the right moment in human history. He's done it in the past. He intervened in the antediluvian world. He intervened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Down through the years, God at specific moments in human history has intervened. And we're now coming to the culmination of the ages when God is again going to intervene in the affairs of man. Call the world to account. Bring an end to the rebellion and the wickedness and the sinfulness of mankind. He's going to call a halt. I have said to you before in these nights gone by that God allows evil to rise to a certain level. And when it does that, he intervenes. He gives warnings, of course. He pours out his judgment. But he intervenes. And we are fast approaching the moment when God is going to intervene in the affairs of this old world. People are baffled today at what is happening. People are wondering, what can we do? We seem to be living in a world that's running out of control and everything is going wrong. Family life is breaking down. Everything is happening for the worse. The changes that are taking place are not for the better. They're always for the worse. I was saying to you last night that just what I read in the latest issue of the Christian Institute magazine, that the Christian Institute has discovered the secret is out. That the government plans now to license the religious leaders of our nation. And they're going to have to pass a government test before they'll be allowed to operate. And we know what that will be. My friends, if we start looking around, we open our eyes and we start to see what's happening in this world, it is that we're heading for a crisis. Any sensible person will tell you that. Nation after nation after nation is in trouble. This world is falling apart. Evil men are in ascendancy. They have denied God. They have denied His Word. They've spurned Jesus Christ. They have put their fist up. They said it's our world. They say it's our world. We'll live whatever way we like. And we'll do whatever we want to do. But the moment is coming when God says enough. When God will say enough. And He will call this old world to account. And I'm trying to tell you this evening that as we look out on all that's around us and all that we see taking place in the world of today, that day cannot be far hence. I've just heard people talk in recent times, and they have been saying that this last decade, they've been talking about this last decade. And they've said, if things go on at the same rate as they're going on now, what will another decade bring about? It'll bring about a lot of trouble if God allows it to go another decade. It'll bring about a lot of evil and sin and debauchery. It'll blight a lot of lives. It'll create havoc around the world, for that is what is happening. And we don't know how long God will allow it to go. There's only one place of safety. There's only one place to be. And that is in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Then you will not fear what the future holds. There are people today, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. Their hearts are full of fear. And they're alarmed at those things which are coming upon the earth. And they don't know what to do. Well, isn't it wonderful that we have a message for such people? We have the message of the gospel. That Jesus Christ came into this world not to destroy the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This evening Jesus Christ stands with outstretched arms, and He called you, if you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't been born again, He called you to repentance, called you to come and put your faith and put your trust in Him. And He has promised that if you come, He will not cast you out. The day of the Lord and all that is coming upon this world is before us. It's a future event. We need to be ready for it. We need to turn to Jesus Christ. Be absolutely certain that all is well with our souls. The challenge of such a moment in human history faces us all. Because each one of us, that song this evening, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? See, there's a moment if you're a Christian when you will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give an account for the deeds done in your body after conversion. Every privilege you've had, every opportunity in life you've had, everything that God has entrusted to you on the journey of life since you became a Christian, since you trusted Christ, you'll answer for. You'll give an account of your stewardship. That day, the works that you have done since you came to faith in Christ, will either be likened on, it will be, those works will be tried by fire. And they will either be likened unto hay, wood, or stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stones. If they're hay, wood, and stubble, they'll be burned up. Works done in the energies of the flesh. But if they are likened unto gold, silver, or precious stones, works done through the energies and power of the Holy Spirit, you'll receive a reward. Awesome. Awesome indeed. That's even the child of God. The Bible tells us if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner? My dear friends, if you don't know Jesus Christ, we urge you tonight to flee to his open arms. Make sure when these awesome events burst upon planet Earth, you will be in heaven because Jesus Christ come and taken you home. May it be so for your name, his namesake. Amen.